Welcome to one of Kathy Frey's Motherwise podcasts. Kathy is a best-selling maternity author and award-winning international maternity consultant. During her time as a midwife, she's caught hundreds of babies. So you're in good hands. Enjoy.
Hi, everybody. It's Kathy Frey here from Motherwise, and welcome to another webinar podcast. And today's topic is all about those trade secrets midwives have to do with the preparation of a cervix so that it can be really, really ripe and ready for the woman to go into labor effectively and efficiently. So just to sort of recap things, now the cervix is the neck of the womb. So the womb is sort of around and the cervix is right at the bottom. And that's what is holding everything closed and firm and keeping your pregnancy, not birthing prematurely. And so when women do go into premature labor, it's because of what they call an incompetent cervix generally, that cervix is opened prematurely and that womb has given birth. But in general terms, normally what happens is that the majority of the pregnancy, the woman has got a cervix that is long and closed and firm, usually around sort of 3 or 4 centimeters long. And it feels like the tip of their nose. It's quite firm. And then towards the end of the pregnancy, the cervix will naturally start to ripen and soften. And by the time a woman is ready to spontaneously go into labor, generally her cervix is very soft and stretchy and feels more like her lips. And often the beginning stages of labor, the latent labor, that's very much part of its job as well, is to continue and soften and ripen and soften and ripen that cervix. So the cells themselves technically sort of break down in structure over that time. So it's not a quick instant thing. It happens gradually through naturally within hormones within our system and also within those latent labor contractions. And so that's why when women, for example, go in to have an induction of their labor, it's not like they start it now, hey presto, they're in labor. It's not like that. It takes a while because the same thing's having to happen, that cervix needs to get ripe and ready to actually dilatate. It has to soften. So there's quite a lot of misunderstanding out there as to what are the things that help to trigger a cervix to ripen, and then what are the things that help trigger a ripe cervix into labor. And often I've heard of women doing the wrong thing. So they're basically doing things that may trigger a ripe cervix to go into labor when their cervix is not even ripe. So that's a fundamental understanding that you need to kind of get to know, is what is the difference between doing things that help to ripen a cervix and things that help a ripe cervix go into labor. All right. So the things that you can, now what I would say is you want to get obsessed with ripening your cervix. Like seriously, that is the number one biggest influencer, in my opinion, that you can do to help shorten the length of your labor. And if you were talking active labor, not latent labor, I think it would really shorten latent labor as well, but I can't conclusively say that. But certainly, abso-freaking-lutely shortens the active labor. And here's the whole point. When you have a shorter active labor, so let's say it only takes you 4 hours to get to fully dilated, 3 or 4 hours to get fully dilated with a first baby, or 1 or 2 hours with a second or less, then you don't need an epidural. You can get through that. And if you don't have an epidural, then hey presto, within 40 minutes later or less, we've got a baby. So you've had your whole birth, your whole active labor in 4 hours, and your baby has had this wonderful, gentle, natural, non-dramatic, non-traumatic arrival. Whereas if your labor, your dilatation of your cervix goes on a lot longer, then you've got a much higher chance of kind of losing the plot and reaching out for that epidural. And then what happens is you've got that cascade of intervention that occurs because the epidural reduces your contraction efficiency. So then we have to start oxytocin drips. So now we're going to increase the chance of the baby having fetal distress. And, you know, the chances of a first-time mother in labour having an epidural ending up in a normal birth, meaning no ventouse, no forceps, no caesar, it's, you know, her chances are not fantastic. So that's why if you've got this super, super, super ripe, soft, stretchy cervix before your body starts to have contractions, man, you're going to have a great labor in general. Now, I can't guarantee that, of course, but I've just witnessed it hundreds and hundreds of times. When I was a 24/7 on-call midwife, I just had a reputation on birthing suite. Everybody knew my woman gave birth quickly. And there's little trade secrets. So that's what I'm going to explain to you. Now, I am not endorsing these specific products. I can't formulate because I'm not officially a trained naturopath. But what I want to do is tell you about my favorite products that I've seen witness. And I would recommend that you speak with your own local naturopath. You should be anyway, in my opinion. You know, you want to have that person looking after you from the wellness perspective of your pregnancy and postnatally as well. But let's just go over my favorites. Okay, so firstly, there's a company called Nature's Sunshine, and they have a product called 5W, which stands for 5 weeks, because you take it in the last 5 weeks of your pregnancy, so from 35 weeks onwards. Now, on the packet, it says to take 2 capsules 3 times a day, which sounds a lot, but I'm telling you, it's not. Okay, I do know naturopaths, medical herbalists who recommend much higher doses. It's really quite a mild thing that you're taking. And it's a whole lot of, it's a fantastic mix of very, very traditional, well-proven European herbs, which have been used for a long, 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 long time, used by women to help ripen their cervix. And these days it's just in this really convenient form of dried herbs and capsules, you know, but certainly women have been taking them in other teas and whatnot for a long, thousands of years in some cases. And Chinese traditional medical herbalism would also have their own equivalents as well, as do nearly all cultures, to be honest. But that is a particularly easy one to get hold of. And there's other brands around that have pre-birth type of medical herbalism mixtures, and yeah, so they're great. So as I say, the Nature's Sunshine 5W, it says 2 capsules 3 times a day. My actual recommendation is slightly different. I sort of say from for 35 and 36 weeks, take 1 capsule 3 times a day. For 37, 38, 39 weeks, take 2 capsules 3 times a day. And from 40 weeks onwards, take 3 capsules 3 times a day. So I actually recommend stepping it up. And I also recommend that you don't take just one thing. It's not about just taking one product that's going to fix this. It's about layering it. As I say, I can't recommend highly enough that you get obsessed with ripening your cervix. Everything you can do to ripen your cervix, this is so beneficial, okay? So, so, so beneficial. And to helping to keep things normal, because when you have a normal birth and your baby has a normal birth, everything else goes better in that postpartum period. It just makes such a huge difference. The baby feeds better because it doesn't have a horrible headache from the ventouse or forceps delivery. You know, it doesn't have any sort of stress factors from its cesarean emergency fetal distress delivery. So it feeds better. You recover million times better. Just everything is so much better, so much better. Okay, so next, evening primrose oil. Yeah, this is a one that's been around a long, 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 long time too. Okay, so that's a GLA, a gamma-linolenic acid, and they generally come as like 1,000 milligram capsules. Okay, and this can be taken two ways, orally and pervaginally. So, and take a book. So orally, what I recommend, what I found sort of works really quite well, is that around 37 weeks, you take 1 capsule twice a day orally, and then at 38 weeks, you take 1 capsule 3 times a day orally. At 39 weeks, take 2 capsules twice a day, and then from 40 weeks, take 4 or 5 capsules. 4 weeks, 40 weeks, 4 capsules a day. 41 weeks, 5 capsules a day. Like, just move it up until your baby body naturally, spontaneously goes into labor. So that's orally. And evening primrose oils has sort of a bit of a prostaglandin kind of effect of helping to, again, soften and ripen the cervix. And then, as I mentioned, you can take it pervaginally. So what you do is you get the capsule and you stick a little hole in it, and then you push that capsule when you go, just before you go to bed at night, push that capsule very high to the very back of your vagina, because at the very back of your vagina is where your cervix is. And then allows your cervix to sort of drown all night or soak all night in evening primrose oil. And in the morning, the capsules tend to just sort of fall out, typically when you go for a wee in the morning, where you can manually remove them. So that's very good. But I would generally do sort of something like one capsule at bedtime from sort of 37, 38 weeks, and then from 39 weeks onwards, two capsules. Okay, what else? Sex. Intercourse, more specifically, male ejaculate, because it contains, sperm contains prostaglandin, and again, that's a natural form of ability to ripen a cervix. Now, sometimes at this stage, men get concerned that they're literally going to bonk the baby on the head. And generally, unless their penis is sort of shaped like that, like a hook, well, yeah, that's not going to happen. However, that's not always the case. I have done an internal check on a woman and went, oh, yes, you actually will bonk the baby on the head. But it is pretty rare. And if the woman's not in labor, I really wouldn't stress about it. Okay. Yeah, because the baby is sort of not at the back of the vagina. The baby's above the vagina. Okay. All right. So what else? Reflexology, acupuncture, and homeopathy, particularly. Actually, homeopathy, there are lots of great pre-birth mixes that you can track down with various different brands, such as Natropharm, and or your local homeopath could make up a blend for you. And again, they're just like oral sprays that you take. Fantastic, very, very, very good. And but once you get sort of past 40 weeks, when you get into that post dates, there is a couple of tinctures in particular that are sort of very well known for that. One is Colifilum. And or colophyllum, however you want to pronounce it, and then the other one is Semicifica. Now, with homeopathy, they sort of tend to have shortened names, which everybody knows them as when you're ordering them. So the first one is spelled C-A-U-L, and then the second one is spelled C-I-M-I-C, Semicifica. And so basically, you could sort of take a few drops of those a few times a day, which would be great, particularly if you do something like three of each drops every hour if you alternate three of each drops every 10 minutes for an hour. So you sort of just do it like as a concentrated dose once a day type of thing. I think that works quite well. But see what your homeopath says as well. However, don't take colophyllum after you've actually got contractions started, all right? Okay, now the other thing is what we call a stretch and sweep, okay, which is a vaginal exam that the midwife does. And look, there's various different beliefs and policies and things on doing stretch and sweeps. But what I would say is, you know, it comes down to sort of doing everything. Again, it's about layering it all. You know, what's worse, being induced or having a stretch and sweep and naturally going into labor? Well, much worse is being induced. So what I would say is that if you know that you can go right through to 42 weeks, there's absolutely no reason for you to be induced early. There's no medical complications for you. And, you know, anywhere from 37 to 42 weeks is a normal time to go into labor. And you should be given that normal time, not be induced for being post-dates when you're not post-dates, because you're not post-dates until you're about 41 weeks and 5 days, 6 days or 7 days at 42 weeks. So if you have got all that full time, then maybe at 40 weeks, consider a vaginal exam with your midwife to do a stretch and sweep of your cervix. But at 41 weeks, I would say, yeah, you really want one. Yeah, I mean, you don't want an induction. You want to go into spontaneous labor. And if it's going to help, which it can, then yeah, that's a good thing. If you are knowing that for some reason you're not really allowed to get past 40 weeks, or it's not being recommended, nothing is not allowed, you can do whatever you want, you're in charge of your body, you can decline whatever medical intervention you choose, But if it's being recommended that you get on, say, for example, you've got gestational diabetes and it's becoming increasingly difficult to maintain normal glycemic levels within your blood, and you just keep going into hyperglycemia, so even with insulin, well, that would be a situation that they would say, look, this baby's going to be better out than in. Or if you've got preeclampsic toxemia, and when preeclampsic toxemia is diagnosed, the average is that baby is born 10 days later, and that's either naturally or induced or emergency cesarean. But the point is that sometimes women have fulminating preeclampsic toxemia where it gets very rapidly worse, and then that woman can be needing delivery within a couple of days or less. But generally speaking, as an average, it's 10 days. So when that person's diagnosed, their baby is delivered, it's 10 days. So if you haven't properly started to be ripening your cervix, well, mate, you've got like 8 days to get onto this, if that, because it's a couple of days to be in labor. So, yeah. Okay. So if you're in that situation that you know that you are not really going to be able to likely to push it past 40 weeks, then you certainly might want to strongly consider having some regular vaginal exams of a stretch and sweep of your cervix before 40 weeks. You know, more the merrier. What's worse, a vaginal exam or induction? An induction's worse. So, and you know, look, even if you do need an induction in the end, at least those vaginal exams have actually helped to ripen things. So, you know, you've still got a better chance of dilating or dilatating a lot quicker when you do get established into active labour. So a stretch and sweep is basically where we sweep the membranes around the head of the baby and we stretch the cervix open a little bit. So is it super painful? No. Is it uncomfortable? A little. I mean, obviously I've done hundreds of them myself, and very rarely has anybody ever jumped off the table. But what I would say as a woman, having experienced them myself, I would say that I think a vaginal exam is not as uncomfortable, or a vaginal stretch and sweep is not as uncomfortable as a speculum exam. I think a speculum exam that you have for a cervical pap smear, to me personally, I think that's way more uncomfortable. So anyway, that's something to sort of base it around, but I guess, you know, everybody's different. Okay, so then there are the things. So those are the main things that help a cervix ripen. So as I say, also apart from the herbs and tinctures and things I've talked about, definitely reflexology, acupuncture, those two also can be very helpful. So I would be definitely in contact with your local reflexologist and your local paternity acupuncturist. So then you've got the things when you get past 40 weeks where you know you've already got a very ripe cervix, but you just want to get into labor. You just want the contractions to actually start. So what are the things there? So again, a vaginal stretch and sweep. And certainly, you know, a woman can absolutely have a cervix that is so ripe and so stretchy. You know, I have definitely said to women, oh my goodness, your cervix is so ripe and so stretchy. I am going to give you a good exam and I'll see you at home in about an hour because you'll be in labor. Absolutely. I'm just going to go, I'll do this exam, I'll go get a bite to eat and I'll meet you at home, because you'll be in labor. It can be, when that cervix is really soft and stretchy, that can be all it takes just to topple them over and they get naturally themselves into labor. Nipple stimulation. So yeah, because the nipple stimulation triggers oxytocin, and oxytocin is the hormone of contractions. So now a contraction, you've been having contractions all your life as a woman, by the way, not as strong as you have when you're in labor for childbirth, but the contractions. But when you have an orgasm, that's a cervical contraction. You can feel your cervix contract. Most women can when they have an orgasm. And when you are having menstruation and the little bit of sort of cramping goes on to assist with the expelling of that menstrual blood, those are cervical contractions as well. So your cervix is not new to contracting. It's just new to being stretched. So the contractions of your womb a lot stronger. That big muscular organ that you've now grown is a lot stronger, and that will open that cervix. So orgasms are good for helping you go into labor because it's a cervical contraction. Swiss ball squat bounces up and down on those Swiss balls with your knees wide apart, because that helps with the weight of your baby descending onto your cervix, and also it helps with sort of stretching your cervix with your knees wide apart. But what I would say is don't bounce like too ferociously. Your belly should not be, just think in terms of your baby being inside, like don't throw it around too much, you know, but certainly just gentle bounces, good, really good. Hot spicy food, because that increases the abdominal pelvic blood circulation and the digestive tract peristalsis. A little bit of light diarrhea-ish poo is not a bad thing. We know that the emptying of a woman's colon is helpful also for getting her to go into labor, which is why back in the 50s, women always would receive an enema in early labor. They would hold the bag of water high. What is that? What high, hot, and a hell of a lot. That was the saying, high, hot, and a hell of a lot. And of water, and really empty out that colon so that it sort of helps to trigger labor. That sort of diarrhea process helps. It's like a natural thing that your body wants to empty out that other passageway, because if you've got a colon or a rectum that's full of stools, hard stools, that can actually anatomically get in the way of a head descending to your pelvis. Your body knows that. So often that's so a little bit of hot spicy food, that's where that comes from. Hot food, hot sex, hot baths, that's what they say. And then that's my last one for you today, is the relaxing bath with a few drops of clary sage oil is a good thing, just to relax. But you wouldn't be doing that after your waters have broken. But certainly, because after your waters have broken, your baby's no longer in a sterile environment, it doesn't mean that you can't be in water during labor, but I wouldn't be doing lots of long soaking baths before that. So that, and the last thing about the bath is just make sure that your core temperature doesn't go too hot. And, you know, so if you've got the top half of your body sort of out of the water, then you're usually pretty good and you can make sure your core temperature is not turning into a fever, a level of a fever, you know, because your baby doesn't want to get overheated as well. So look, that's everything for today. Those are a lot of trade secrets, and over loads of years and hundreds of clients. So some of my precious information, and I hope that you'll enjoy it all and have a lovely rest of your week, everybody. Okay, bye.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast today. Visit kathyfrey.com for lots more free maternity information and downloads. Plus, you can order copies of Kathy's books, browse through her top recommended motherhood products, and check out her popular support package options. KathyFrey.com.